Today's epistle reading from Galatians might be a little bit confusing at first glance. There's some statements there that seem pretty contradictory. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. Then verse 5 says, each of you will have to bear his own load. Verse 4 says, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone. Then, a little bit farther in verse 14, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of Christ. Tempted to think, come on, Paul, make up your mind. Are we bearing each other's burdens, or is everyone bearing his own? Are we boasting in ourselves in some way, or only in Christ? And so I think it's helpful to start at the beginning and walk through this bit by bit. It starts with something that we are encouraged to do as Christians. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The general topic here is, then, how do we treat other people who are sinning? But I admit I'm not quite satisfied with that translation, caught in transgression. That makes me think of someone being caught red-handed, as if we're talking about some kind of a gotcha attitude. A better phrase might be, if anyone is overwhelmed and falls. See, when this translation, the ESV, when this says caught, this isn't caught like being caught in the act, but rather caught like being caught in a trap, or like I caught my toe on the edge of the rug and I fell down. The word here that's given for transgression is also not the usual word for a sin. It has an implication of less of a moral failure, more of falling down or making a false step. I think that idea of a false step is a good one here. As we are all trying together as the church to walk through life on the Christian path, sometimes we miss a step, sometimes we catch our toe, sometimes we trip and stumble and may find ourselves falling off that straight and narrow path. Now maybe that doesn't seem like such a major difference to you, between caught in transgression or overwhelmed and falling down, but I think it is important considering the next sentence. Restore him with gentleness. Restore him. Restore whoever this person is. Help put them back to their former condition. Rehabilitate, repair, renovate, build them back up. Any of those would be a good way to say it. When you see that another Christian has sinned, and the approach that we're encouraged to take is not to punish them or cast them out or look down on them, it's to help them back up. And so the picture of taking a wrong step, tripping and falling down, is a good one. Because when someone falls down, what do? You help them stand back up. So the same message here applies to spiritual matters as it does to the physical. The next sentence reminds us, keep watch on yourself, lest you too are tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What exactly is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is how he summarizes the entire law. Remember that, what he calls the greatest commandment? Love God above all else, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's also what the disciples are told at the Last Supper. I give you a new command, to love one another as I have loved you. By this, people will know that you are my disciples. We can very easily see the connection between this, loving your neighbor, and the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. That's really all this is saying if you boil it down. What if you're the one who has stumbled and fallen? Do you want others to stop and help you up, or stand around and make fun of you for falling in the first place? There's a wonderful word in the German language that you may have heard before, Schadenfreude. It's a kind of malicious joy, or taking pleasure in someone else's pain or misfortune. Never mind what it says about the Germans, that they have a specific word to describe that emotion. But in any case, it is a human reaction that is natural to our fallen, sinful state. Oh, look how this person messed up. I'm glad I'm not like that. Or, serves you right. I told you so. That kind of Schadenfreude is a great example of what not to do here. Here's a wise observation from St. Augustine. There is no surer test of the spiritual person than his treatment of another person's sin. Note how he takes care to deliver the sinner, rather than triumph over him, to help him, rather than punish him, and, so far as lies in his capacity, to support him. course, we need no other reason than the Golden Rule to understand why that is the wiser reaction, but it also demonstrates Christian humility. As we just read, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So be gentle and understanding and helpful to others when they stumble in trying to walk the Christian walk. Because whether or not you also fall, you can certainly be tempted. Be careful that you don't start to imagine that deep down you're actually better than anyone else just because you haven't sinned in the same way that they have. But are we really nothing, as Paul seems to be saying here? That hurts. Few things hurt more than feeling insignificant, than feeling like a nobody. But in a way, it's true. By ourselves, we have nothing to offer. We become something, we have something to offer, only through Christ. And that is really what pulls this passage together. That verse towards the end here, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. But I do want to pay a little bit more attention to this word, burden. In this passage, the task of living a moral life, of living a good life, of obeying God and obeying His commandments, described with this appropriate and vivid term, it is a burden. It's not an easy task. It's difficult. It's a struggle. Bearing here, bearing one another's burdens, that's the same word that Jesus uses when He tells us that we have to each bear our own cross. It is a heavy load. In other uses, the same word could refer to the cargo on a ship. And so, help each other bear the heavy load and work through this life's difficulties, because after all, we each have a burden to bear. So bear with each other when you stumble or you mess up. Don't be afraid to associate with so-called sinners out there, because each person has their own sin to contend with. You aren't somehow morally contaminated by other people's sins. I think that is what it means when we read, each will have to bear his own load. We are each held accountable for our own sins. We're each responsible for our own sins. There is no passing the buck or getting out of the guilt that we all hold. We are guilty of our own sin and no one else's. But on the other hand, we can also each bear each other's burdens by this care that we have for one another when we pick each other back up when we fall, this rehabilitation and restoration. This is what we're getting at when we read, in the same paragraph, bear one another's burdens and each will have to bear his own load. It's not really a contradiction, it's an encouragement in two different but very strongly connected things. In Christian humility, you realize that you are a sinner under the burden of the law, and that by yourself, you are nothing. You realize that everything you have is in Christ, and so, you can extend the same grace that Christ gives to you. You can take that and extend it to others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Knowing that we each have our burden to bear, knowing that we have all fallen short of God's glory and depend only on His grace, be gentle and understanding. Help each other out as you can. The law of God is a burden. The perfect requirements, the demands that we fallen creatures cannot achieve. When Jesus addressed the legalistic religion of his own day, he accused the scribes and the lawyers, "You load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." If we truly appreciate the chasm that lies between God's holy and perfect law and our sin and failure, we will indeed stagger and stumble under the unbearable weight of it all. Of course, it is today especially dangerous that most people around us seem to assume that they are good enough. It doesn't feel like such a burden to them because most of us these days seem to think the bar of being good enough is actually set pretty low. But if we are to truly appreciate what God has done for us in Christ, we have to appreciate how powerful and heavy a burden it is that the law demands of us. Only perfection is good enough, and, well, no one is perfect. Jesus has the solution. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And when we take on the burden that Christ offers, then the burden of the law, the burden of doing it ourselves, is gone. Because when we take on His yoke, He is the one who is bearing the whole burden. Remember what a yoke is exactly? It connects together two animals so they can pull a cart or a plow in unison. When something talks about a yoke of oxen, it's talking about two of them. And so when Christ says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that is because when you are yoked together with him, he is doing all the work. He bears the whole burden. Taking the yoke of Christ is being united together with him. And so united with him and having him bear our burdens to the cross, we have nothing to boast about except that cross. As Paul says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. United with Christ, we are part of what has been called the great exchange, that Christ takes away your sin, your burden, and he bears it, while instead he gives you his righteousness, his life, his holiness, his rest. If we are going to help each other up when we've fallen, then we need to have sturdy, stable ground to stand on so that we can reach down and pull. When we stand on that solid ground of Christ, that we can venture to help others who have stumbled. And knowing that we do stand on this most solid of all ground, on Christ who is called the rock, on this stable ground, we can indeed reach down to those who have fallen and help raise them up, gently dust them off, and return to the path. Of course, we all know from personal experience that it is often not as clean and easy and clear-cut as all that. Too often, a person who's fallen rejects and resists all attempts to help. They refuse to acknowledge they've fallen down in the first place. Too often, it's not just one fall, but time after time after time, just like a toddler learning to walk who hits the floor every couple of steps. We can easily get discouraged in this. And so, as Paul concludes here, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. This talk of sowing and reaping gives us a lesson from farming. Don't be discouraged when you don't immediately see any results or benefits from doing good. Just like when a farmer plants a seed, he has to wait for it to sprout and eventually bear fruit. It is certainly possible that we may not see the results of our good deeds at all in this life. And yet, as opportunity allows, do good to all people. It may be that you never see the ripe results for some of your good deeds. The end of your striving to live a faithful Christian life and the gospel witness to others. But that doesn't mean that there won't be any results. We can plant and we can water, but God gives the growth. Do the right thing, and don't be discouraged if, as far as you can see, it seems pointless or unproductive. Because nothing is pointless or unproductive when it is done out of faith in Christ, out of love for your neighbor, out of supporting a fellow Christian struggling against sin, out of obedience to God that flows from thankfulness and from the gifts that he gives to us. And so we may, as we are encouraged here by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, we may help to bear each other's burdens and to offer a helping hand, knowing that in doing so, we are imitating and obeying the Lord who has called us to faith and who bore our burdens all the way to the cross. And in that cross alone, we boast. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in this faith. Amen.